Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Swetz of Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. I invite you to hear biblical preaching and God-centered worship every Sunday at 10 and 3:30 in the afternoon at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church in Abbotsford. You can find us at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. Our website is abbotsfordurc.org. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
I'm sure the last thing that you've ever thought about at Christmas time is the doctrine of hell. It just doesn't seem, that would seem to be so wrong to consider the birth of Jesus and the reality of eternal hell. Well, that's something that Christianity has always believed, that there is a place called hell. There is a place of eternal suffering. And you really can't understand the Christian gospel and the message if you don't understand the question of what Jesus came to save us from. What is the consequence of our sins, and what is the punishment that God has declared in the Bible with regard to our sins? Then you can start to understand the marvel of what Jesus had to undergo and face to release us from all of our sins. So in other words, an understanding of Christmas, a right understanding of the birth of Jesus, understands and leads us to the fact that he had to suffer for us the torments of hell to release us and to free us from condemnation. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we direct you to our website at agradio.org. Web address is agradio.org. The phone number is 1-888-504-8805. Again, 1-888-504-8805. Pastor Mike Brown is with us today from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And Mike, we're into some heavy stuff here in our study of the Heidelberg Catechism. We've really entered into a section here that explains for us why Jesus had to suffer and what he had to face, what he had to do for us to release us. And this is a necessary discussion, especially as we are at a time of year where everybody's celebrating the birth of Jesus. You see all of the commercialization, you see all of the consumerism that surrounds this, and we really do seem to miss at this time of year why he even came.
Right. We want to remember that he came to rescue sinners, and that required his life, death, and resurrection. And his death is really what we're considering and what that really means. We're considering it on the show right now because, as you said, we're going through the Heidelberg Catechism. And this is the section of the Heidelberg Catechism that exposits the Apostles' Creed. If you're not familiar with those things, the Apostles' Creed is one of the oldest creeds. It's a statement of faith, in a sense, that the whole Christian church, East, West, has used in some form. And there's, as it continues each line, stating those most essential doctrines of Christianity, we confess that Jesus died, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and descended into hell. And so those are some of the things that we want to consider. We really can't be a Christian apart from confessing and believing these things, because they're part of the revealed religion that God has given us in his word. And so what does it mean that Jesus suffered and died and was buried and descended into hell? That's what we need to consider today. And as you rightly pointed out, there really is no good news or glad tidings of Christmas apart from understanding these things, because this is what made his coming so important and so good for us.
Right. The rejoicing that you see at his birth came with an announcement of gospel. It came with an announcement of freedom and peace with God. And you'll never comprehend that until you understand the dire circumstance and the dire situation that you are in because of sin. I don't think we hear enough about this. Jesus talked openly and plainly a lot about the judgment to come. Jesus talked openly and plainly about people who are going to go to a place of outer darkness. I mean, this language is all throughout the Gospels. And I know it's hard, I know it's difficult, and I know it's easy to avoid. But when we understand the gravity of our situation, then we understand the marvel of what Jesus underwent for us. And that's what the Heidelberg is helping us with in Lord's Day 16. Why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? And now you see why the angels are rejoicing. He came here to humble himself unto death for us. Mm-hmm. When you understand the marvel of that, your joy is complete. Your joy is fulfilled. Jesus has answered you in all of your misery. Jesus has answered you and pulled you out of the pit that you chose and the guilt that you experience because of your sin. And I find it fascinating that it's at these times of year, Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that, that people's guilt and misery seems to be, they seem to face it more than ever. Well, listen to this answer. Why did Jesus do this for us? Because by reason of the justice and truth of God, satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. What a statement. There's no other way. There's no other way this could have happened than that the purpose and intention of the Son of God to come here was to willingly lay down his life for us.
That's right. And we need to remember the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That's what our sin brings us. It brings us death. And God said in the beginning that in the day that you eat of the tree, in the day that you sin against me, Adam, you shall surely die. And so Christ comes into the world, as we discussed last week, and is actively obedient to the will of the Father. He does that which the first Adam fails to do. He perfectly obeys God in everything in his law, fulfills all of his laws and commandments, and then goes to the cross to die, to suffer the wrath of God against our sins. Our sins are laid upon him, though Christ had none, and he suffers the wages of those sins, not only physical death, but also eternal death. But it was necessary that Christ die. He couldn't have rescued us from the wages of sin apart from his death. And that's meaningful as we come to the Christmas season. Again, apart from the death of Christ, the manger is meaningless. We don't want to think of Christmas or a nativity scene just as a warm reminder that we should be nice to others and follow Jesus' example of kindness and gentleness. Apart from the gruesomeness of the cross, apart from the blood shed at Golgotha, then the manger doesn't really mean anything. Jesus came to die.
Right. And you think about the justice of God. You know, we've said this on Abounding Grace before. You know, what kind of earthly judge would it be who, if you had a family member murdered and the judge says, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to let it go. You'd be furious. What about a holy, perfect, just God? He can't just wink at sin. He's got to judge. He has to judge sin. And this is where the whole message here of the substitution of Jesus really does fill the Heidelberg at this point. What we see in our study and what we see in the scriptures is Jesus stepping into our place, as Mike mentioned. He stepped into our place to fulfill all righteousness, keeping the law. He stepped into our place before the judgment seat. Everything you see when Pilate is there judging him and he's being whipped and scourged and beaten, you should say, I deserve that. That was me. That's what judgment day should happen to me. And what Christians believe is that judgment day was brought back into history in AD 30 in the month of Nisan at about the sixth hour of the day when Jesus is there suffering on the cross. There he is substituted and come into the place that I deserved. That's my judgment day. That's where the justice of God was exercised against my sin. I receive all that by faith. That's what makes us distinct as Christians. We receive that by faith, believing in him. That's the only instrument. That's the only way that we receive these benefits. But that's where it happened. And the whole picture here of the Heidelberg Catechism, the whole story is that Jesus fulfilled righteousness, became the curse, stood in our place, said it's finished, and then even went to the grave for us. And that's the next logical question here in the Heidelberg following the course of the creed. Well, why was he buried? To prove that he really died. And you could even think about for me, for us.
Right. It was necessary, again, according to God's justice, that the Savior really die and that he die in our place. Of course, that brings up then the next question. Well, then why do we have to die? I mean, if the Son of God came into the world, assumed human flesh, lived righteously, went to the cross for our sins, and he has conquered death through his resurrection, then shouldn't we just go on living a perfect life? Why do we have to die? And that's the next question. And it says, our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Rather, it puts an end to our sinning and is our entrance into eternal life.
That's one of the most comforting questions of the Heidelberg. I love to use that every time there's a death. I think of Psalm 116, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Christian no longer, because this has happened, has to approach death with fear. Remember, the Lord has cast that out. The Lord has removed that fear. We have now peace with God, so that the oncoming death that we have, we no longer have to fear. Jesus suffered and Jesus took the penalty. Jesus paid. God doesn't do double justice. In other words, he doesn't say, well, you know, I punished your sins in my son, but you know, that wasn't quite good enough. And now I'm going to redo that in your death. You see how this frames our whole thinking and encourages us. There's not double justice. Justice was completely met in AD 30. It was done. It was completed. He said it's finished. So that now when he was buried and he's raised from the dead, we can view our whole life as taking place. And that's how the scriptures apply this. Our whole life is being objectively accomplished there. When he died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he was raised, I was raised. So that means my death then puts away forever my sin, and I am forever with the Lord, which he promised to be absent from the body is to be present with him, because I'm joined to him by faith.
Right. Yeah, we still live in this cursed world that will be cursed until the return of Christ. And so we are still subject to that curse in the sense that our bodies die, but we are not under the penalty of the curse forever. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the open proof of that. And the fact that, as you said, Chris, we are now united with him by the Holy Spirit, and we have the promise that we too will be raised again from the dead. Because he has. He's removed the sting of death in his death and resurrection. And the promise is that death, which is the last enemy, will be destroyed one day right. when Christ returns. But none of that would have been possible had Christ not come into this world to live and to die and to be raised again from the dead. That is our hope, that this life is not all there is, but there is something far greater yet to come, and it's in the resurrection, all because Jesus died for our sins.
Right, and it's important to say, and this is such a important thing today, in light of what the Heidelberg says here, that what happens when we die, we enter into eternal life. Listen, there's no purgatory. There's no going to a place of further suffering. There's no doctrine of soul sleep. You are immediately, when the Christian dies and the heart stops beating, the Christian immediately is taken to be with the Lord in the presence. Now, that's not the completed story. That's important to say. As Mike just pointed out, there is a resurrection of the body that is to come, but we immediately go to be with him. And that is so important and comforting. And that's one of the benefits that we get to enjoy, knowing that Jesus has fulfilled all righteousness and become the curse for us. You mentioned, Mike, question 43. You mentioned now, you're right, that now we're no longer under the dominion. We're set free. We still are subject to decay. But this does now affect even how we live in terms of struggle with sin now and how we view even that. And notice that question 43 addresses the benefit of what we receive because of Christ's death on the cross in the present. And I'll read that, and I'd love you to comment on that. What further benefit do we receive from the sacrifice and death of Christ on the cross? That by his power, our old man is crucified, slain, and buried with him. That so the evil lusts of the flesh may no longer reign in us, but that we may offer ourselves unto him as a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
That's right. The new life that we will enjoy fully in the resurrection, with glorified, resurrected bodies, completely free from sin and filled only with righteousness to enjoy the new creation, that is already broken in part now by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Christ from the dead 2,000 years ago and will raise us from the dead in the future is at work in our hearts right now, putting to death the old nature that we inherited from Adam and bringing to life the new nature that we have received from Christ. And so again, Christ coming into this world, the reason we sing at Christmas time, the reason we sing those great Christmas hymns and carols with joy in our hearts is because Christ has rescued us from sin, death, and hell. Not only does he give us the promise of the resurrection in the end, but even now he gives us the power to fight the enemy of sin and to live a new life and no longer walk in the deadness of our trespasses and sins.
You know, and that's the issue Paul raises in Romans 6, where he says, can we go on living in a certain way? Can we go on continuing in a pattern of sin unrepentant? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, heaven forbid, certainly not. How shall we who've died to sin live any longer therein? How does he convince the Christian of this? Listen to this. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. If you ever look in the Greek here, there's all these what we call aorist tenses here to tell us this is all past for you, Christian. Mm. When Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When he was raised, you were raised. That's how you are to think of yourself. And Paul even says that here, that from now on, how are you to regard yourselves? Reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Why? Because he's already done that. Now you have to learn to think of yourself this way.
Right. Yeah, that's the new reality that Christ has brought us into.
So final then, this is where I want to. This is the last question of Lord's Day 16 today, Mike. And this is a packed Lord's Day, by the way. There's so much here. We could have had three or four on this programs on this. But this question is so important. Why is there added, question 44, he descended into hell? Now, in the Apostles' Creed, it says that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And here it is. He descended into hell. Now, that's not the natural order of how it happened. This is helping us to understand here what we believe by, you know, he descended into hell. The Heidelberg's making that clear for us, what we're saying when we say that. And this is the answer, that in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself with this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agony in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, has delivered me from the anguish and torment of hell. This is such a pastoral, comforting statement for us when we see in the scriptures this doctrine taught, the warnings given about the place called hell. Jesus suffered the torments of that for me so that I don't have to go there.
Right. Yeah, that's really the key here. When we talk about Christ's descent into hell, yeah, it can be a little strange or maybe even misleading. We're not saying that, or we don't believe that the Bible teaches that Christ literally descended into hell after his death and burial, right, and was in hell for 3 days until his resurrection. Now, we should point out that throughout the history of the Christian church, this has been understood in different ways, and there's been different views on what that exactly means, that he descended into hell. The way the Protestant reformers understood it, and which is why it's codified here in the Heidelberg Catechism, is that Christ's whole suffering on the cross and also his death and burial, it's all the culmination of his suffering, which was an equivalent of hell. When he said it is finished, he meant that the suffering for those whom he came to save was finished. So the equivalent of that would be us going to hell to pay for our sins, because God's justice must be satisfied. It is either satisfied upon the cross when Jesus said it is finished, or it'll be satisfied in an eternity in hell, us paying for that with body and soul. The Bible speaks everywhere about hell. I know it's become popular today not to believe in hell, and there's been some pop books written that it's just annihilation, or that there is really no place of hell. But the Bible speaks everywhere of a real place of torment in body and soul forever and ever, and that that's our rightful home unless we come to Jesus Christ, who suffered the equivalence of hell upon the cross. And as you pointed out, Chris, the comfort of that, of this, of that doctrine that Jesus suffered in that way, is that as we go through the difficulties of this life, as we go through temptations, as we go through times of doubt, well, we can have assurance, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, in times of personal crisis and temptation, that Christ suffered all the anguish that God required of our sins. So we never will be in hell. Not if you come to Jesus. If you receive Christ, you can have the assurance that you will never see hell, that you will never be in a place of torment forever and ever. In fact, it'll be just the opposite. You'll be in the joy and the comfort of your Lord and in the presence of His company in the new creation.
That's just wonderful. I mean, you think about the Lord, what He did for to us, and then announces to the whole world His plan of salvation, that you can escape the wrath to come, dear listener. Right. You can flee to Jesus and get out of this dire, terrible circumstance and condition and situation that you're in. And I don't, you know, it's so sad. I don't know why that's not being received today. I don't know why people aren't hearing that today. I don't know why so few take that seriously today. But this is the message of Christianity. And you don't want to be wrong about this. You really don't want to be wrong about this, because there are eternal consequences. And that's why we're, you know, in many ways, what do gospel ministers do every Sunday? We plea. Our job is a pleading job, to plea with people to flee to Jesus, come to Jesus, and you can escape the wrath to come and receive a covering, so that when Jesus there on the cross said, it's finished, you can say, it was finished for me.
Absolutely.
That's the whole intention there as I look. And so then when I go through life and I struggle, as Mike so beautifully pointed out here, with temptations, but also anguish and pains, and I have terrors, I can realize Jesus did all that and became all of that for me. And I can live in that comfort. And that's the kind of peace that the Lord gives us as we pass through.
Right. And isn't that why this time of year we sing joy to the world? Let the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. This is the only one who has conquered death and hell for us. And we have the promise of escaping death and hell. And we have the promise of the resurrection through Him. Through what? Through someone who suffered in our place. Through a righteous person who had no sins of his own, who did not deserve the cross, did not deserve hell, and yet took that punishment to satisfy the justice that we deserved. Isn't that the reason why we lift up our voices and sing at Christmas time?
Yeah, and you've seen in the news, just to practically apply this, you've seen in the news everyone in crying injustice in the law system for the past weeks of somebody who they say was unjustly shot. I mean, this has been what we've seen riots and protests about in our country. And all of us pastors rightly stand back from this and say, well, wait a minute. We're all guilty of doing that to the Son of God. Our sins caused this. And He came and willingly became the sacrifice, and we pinned Him up there. Our sins caused His suffering and death. And the Lord hasn't said to us, I'm coming back to get even with you. He's announced to this lost world, listen, your sins caused this. Repent and believe and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's what He's returned back to us.
Amen.
And that's what we need to proclaim. We also want to encourage you, if you are blessed by these programs and you would like a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism, do please write to us. There's a form there to submit right online at agradio.org. We'll get one out to you. We've sent out many, and we're thankful that people want to read these things. And they're free. A free Christmas gift, dear listener, from Abounding Grace Radio. We will send this out. And if you want a bow, I'll even put that on it for you. So thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. And until next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi there. I'm Pastor Ryan DeYoung from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. If you appreciate the doctrines of grace as heard on this program and you live in the Langley area, we invite you to come worship with us. Our Sunday services are at 9:30 and 2, and we're located at 21804 52nd Avenue, just down the hill from the Langley Memorial Hospital. We are a church that emphasizes the good news that Jesus Christ alone is our Savior and Lord. To find out more, visit our website at langleycanrc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio, and we want to take a minute to thank our listeners for tuning into Abounding Grace. We consider it a great privilege to bring these messages of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to you. We invite you to go to our website at agradio.org, download the podcast, and do please write to us. It helps us to know and gauge how these programs are being received in the area that we are sending them. Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace Radio. May this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.